Hi, folks. Bill Resnick here with Johanna Brenner doing a commentary for the Old Mole in this time of multiple crises. It's not just us as social justice and democratic folks who recognize this. Popular majorities think that we need great change, and great movements are rising with demands for change in our energy system and production and government and our ways of life and the police. We will win some reforms, maybe stimulus monies and renewable energy, some defunding of police and replacement with helping programs, higher minimum wage for essential workers, maybe even some form of public-private universal medical care. But most of the reforms will be concessions that those who run the system can live with, concessions that may even enhance the power of big corporations. Still, we have to work in those reform movements. It's where so many people are organizing to win some practical things and doing it motivated by hopes for more and for social justice, building out some forms of renewable energy, raising wages, keeping the police out of schools, reducing police murders, and destroying homeless encampments. Those are good things. But however good, we don't have to settle for those kinds of reforms, because we could, in the struggles, win the hearts and minds. We could discuss programs and real operating institutions that are not just reforms, but work and create life ways that empower people, that activate them, that build community involvement, that contribute to ordinary people participating in the decisions that shape their lives. Reforms that radically democratize, create hunger for more. And even if we don't win them in great numbers and size, we can get movements from movement activists and popular audiences, get commitments from them, and familiarize the society with those possibilities. So this radio piece will go into some of those reforms, partial to be sure, to demonstrate how in fighting for them and winning some, in doing that we can help people envision and get committed to that better necessary, radically democratic and sustainable world. So Johanna today are going to discuss first the health system. We'll also discuss jobs and material production and how defending and replacing police can create highly participatory and democratic programs that empower all the people. First, the health system. Johanna Brenner commenting on it.
Hi, Bill. So, Sonali Kostikar, a commentator on Pacifica radio show Rising Up, pointed out that, to quote, just as progressives were right more than a decade ago that a single-payer or Medicare-for-all system was best poised to meet our health care needs, that same rallying cry for such a universal and free health care plan remains more relevant and appropriate than ever. Even the New York Times agrees, admitting perhaps a little bit reluctantly, that a single-payer system in which one entity, usually the federal government, covers every citizen regardless of age or employment status could work. We can and should go much further than changing how we ensure health care. We can envision and work for changing how health care is delivered, moving from hierarchical to more democratic forms of prevention and treatment. There are already models out there for doing this. For example, public health could be promoted through grassroots organizations that are controlled by the communities they serve. Another example, chronic diseases consume the bulk of health spending. Some clinics and hospitals have radically changed the way they help people manage chronic problems. Clients are involved in their own care and helped by teams of providers where doctors, nurses, social workers, outreach workers, and others function together on the team on an equal basis. The doctor doesn't tell everybody what to do. These practices improve skills, communication, and morale among the staff and have superior outcomes for patients. This is a model that we should fight to expand. It is true that creating teams at work now is often tied to management goals of promoting speed up and saving money, but that is because management still calls all the shots and holds on to their power. Still, even under those constraints, workers are more productive because they appreciate the small amounts of greater responsibility, voice, control, and dignity that they gain. We should not resist changes toward greater involvement of healthcare workers and teams, even if management is somewhat promoting them. But instead, we could use this moment to push for more democratization and greater worker control over healthcare organizations. Back to you, Bill.
So Johanna and I just discussed how we can go beyond universal health care, which is necessary, but would continue our very top-down system that doesn't work very well. And we can fight for that better democratized system that produces much better lives for patients and healthcare workers. Here's another example on work and jobs for all at living wages. Take the Black Lives Matter platform on jobs and income. It provides a fine example of seeking economic justice, particularly jobs and economic development programs. So it calls for, and I quote, federal and state jobs programs that specifically target the most economically marginalized Black people and compensation for those involved in the care economy. Job programs must provide a living wage and encourage support for local workers, centers, unions, Black-owned businesses, which are accountable to the community. It also calls for, we quote, protections for domestic workers, farm workers, tipped workers, and other workers, many of whom are Black women and incarcerated people who have been exploited and remain unprotected. This includes the immediate passage, I'm continuing to quote from Black Lives Matter platform, this includes the immediate passage at the federal and state level of Domestic Worker Bill of Rights, extension of worker protection to incarcerated people. And further, the Black Lives Matter platform also goes beyond these reforms to call for, again, we're quoting, financial support of Black alternative institutions, including policy that subsidizes and offers low-interest, interest-free or federally guaranteed low-interest loans to promote the development of cooperatives, food, residential, and many others, land trusts, and culturally responsive health infrastructures that serve the collective needs of our communities. This demand for cooperative work and land trusts that provide alternatives to top-down management by ownership and management by the few, that is, democratically run alternatives, has also been raised by auto workers whose factories have been closed down and shuttered all over the Western world. The auto workers, indeed, the entire group and the union sought public takeover of the factories in Oshawa, Canada, factories being closed, then to sell it to its workers at reasonable value, low interest rates, that to create a worker-owned and managed enterprise, a productive company that would involve its engineers and other engineers and its production workers in design and production of green infrastructure, as well as clean, democratic energy technologies, including solar installations and wind turbines. This is not some utopian fantasy. Worker-owned and controlled production firms operate successfully all over the world. Indeed, are very important to the entire Spanish, Italian, German, Scandinavian economies, using the great capacities of workers cooperating together to produce what we really need. We can surely raise these possibilities here and at least win people's support for them. We've so far discussed two examples of working in reform movements for universal health care and living wage jobs for all. How to work in them and all our movements to demonstrate the virtues of cooperative production democratically run and thus make work much more fulfilling while creating the goods we need and the services we need and better health for all. Here's another example, police defunding and how replacement services could be democratically structured. Here's Johanna.
Thanks, Bill. The remarkable movement sparked by the murder of George Floyd, its size, its stamina, its morality, its demands for justice, has gained wide popular support. Very, very, very exciting to see. And many people agree that the police should not be responding to mental health emergencies, people in trouble from alcohol and drug addictions, and many other problems. And this is happening in many cities, actually. In Portland, the police will no longer be in the schools or on the map. And it appears that further changes could well be made by the city council and the new DA. But this raises a question, what kind of services will replace the police? Will they be mostly top-down and professionalized treatment, assisted by prescribing large amounts of pharmaceuticals? Or instead, will there be alternatives that are primarily people helping people programs? Like Street Roots here in Portland and Sisters of the Road Cafe, these are organizations that serve the houseless community and involve houseless people as participants and decision makers. They're not perfect, of course, and one reason why is that, like the communities they serve, they don't have the full resources they need to carry out their mission. They operate on a shoestring, and democracy takes money because you need resources to have the time and staff to help people develop their capacities for participation and decision making. But nonetheless, they are programs that are run by and for the communities they serve. The city has taken money from the police budget to fund a new program, Portland Street Response, which is meant to replace the police in dealing with problems with houseless people, people in mental health crisis, and so forth. Will this program replace one oppressive city force with another social service bureaucracy whose decision makers are far removed from the people the organization is supposed to serve? Or will this program be organized with a robust system of community participation and community oversight? Will houseless people be hired? Will the families of people in mental health crisis have a say in setting up and evaluating the program? Here is a moment where we can raise new and broader ideas about how to democratize social services in Portland, following the lead of Right to Survive and other grassroots groups in our community. Let's take advantage of this opportunity. Over to you, Bill.
Thanks, Joanna. So it's time to conclude. Hope we have shown that while today the reforms we can win will be far from enough to even approach solving our many deep institutional crises, they can be stepping stones. They can be fought for in ways that show what would be necessary, that we could create a health and medicine system that we all deserve, that served all our people so much better, and a productive system that offered good work for everybody such that all gained and used their capacities to make and grow the products we need. And we can build helping systems for all with severe troubles that enable them to work the way out of it and find better lives. And all our systems would gain from the vast creativity, the ingenuity, the compassion of ordinary humans of our extraordinary species. So stay tuned on cable and this old mole show for more on working in reform movements. Thanks for listening, folks. This is Bill Resnick and
Joanna Brenner
coming to you from KBOO Radio and the Old Mole Variety Hour.